Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
His name is Samuel the Hagar, and he is your artist of the day. Your keyword to cash is honey. H-O-N-E-Y. Text that into 72881. You're in the running for $1,000, but don't forget.
Message and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive.
Dana is sick today, so we've had to shuffle the deck of the Titanic a little bit here.
This is what Dana sounds like with a cold.
So Will Starrett moves into that chair. Rebecca Crockett moves into that one. Sam and I stay where we are.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice comfy chair.
I'm here to keep you boys in order today.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to have to play a game today since we have people in positions where they're not used to being.
Yeah, this is good.
So we can either do mixtape. Let's see, we did Family Feud yesterday. So we can do mixtape. We can do Hummers at 5.
I like Hummers at 5.
I've always wanted to try Hummers at 5.
Sounds like Hummers at 5 is going to happen.
Can you do it?
Of course I can.
Okay.
I'm not Dana Wright. I can do this.
You have to pick your own songs.
All right.
Okay.
They have to be huge hits. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like where everybody else in the room, even if we're not into that kind of music, we would recognize it.
Okay. And how many do we need? 2 or 3?
You need 2.
2. Okay.
2 songs.
So no that. Taylor Swift.
What?
I would not know a Taylor Swift song if you hummed it.
Okay.
Honest to God, I wouldn't. I mean,
You're in luck, by the way.
Recognizably, and I understand she's a big star and everything. I get it.
You've got to dumb this down as far as possible and then find a way to dumb it down another notch.
Like, here, let me give you an example, Rebecca, since you're new to Hummers at 5.
Okay.
Okay.
You had a very I love your stature when you do this. I mean, you have your hand going in and out like you're the opera singer on stage.
Like I'm a conductor.
He turns almost into a full composer.
I mean, he really goes in on this. It's kind of impressive.
Do you want one more shot at it?
Yeah, one more shot.
And then I'm going to have Sam just play it.
Okay.
Because he's already figured it out.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I think I know.
Okay.
Take on Me.
There you go. Can you hit that high note when humming?
Not when I'm humming, okay. But I can in
real life. You can with the falsetto,
yes,
yeah.
Okay,
good.
Yep.
Anyway, can we hear an example?
Only if you play it with me. I'm not going to sing it by myself. But if you go to that high. I can't get that high.
I can almost get there.
All right.
I'm close.
Honey is your keyword to cash. 72881. Story here from CBS News.
So you know it's true.
Pope Francis has opened a 3-week meeting of bishops, and I know we have a lot of Catholics in the audience. This may come as a surprise to some of you, but Kansas City is a hotbed for Catholicism. And before we before we get started on this topic, I want to be very clear that no one on this show, as far as I know, because every time we get into talking about Catholicism, we get, you're anti-Catholic. I have been attending Catholic Church. Kelly is a Catholic. I am a Presbyterian, but with Presbyterians, we just don't care. So I have been attending Catholic Mass.
What do you think of it?
I like the pomp and circumstance of it. I think the sermons are boring.
Okay.
I refuse to get on my knees, and so I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to make some sort of anti-Catholic protest. I just...
You don't do that.
We don't do that. We don't do that in the Presbyterian Church, and I would feel like I was faking it if I got down on my knees and did all the cross across
the
your
sign
body.
Of the cross, yeah.
I don't do that
okay.
stuff.
Okay, all right.
But I'm also not a Catholic, and I don't take communion mm-hmm. at a Catholic church.
Correct.
I will take a... I don't think I can, quite
correct.
Frankly.
Yeah,
you cannot, no.
I do take communion at my Presbyterian church, but I like it. I love the pomp and the circumstance of it all. And
formality
yes,
of a Catholic Mass.
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think a Catholic Mass is absolutely beautiful.
And full disclosure, Will and I were both raised Catholic.
Yeah. So before we get into this topic...
You are still nominally Catholic, are you not? Even if you're not, you know, a regular attendee. I mean, you
correct,
would,
yes.
Yeah, you're still nominally Catholic.
I wouldn't call
Catholic.
Myself practicing, but sure. I am a Catholic.
Somebody said I would have gotten Taylor Swift before I got whatever the hell was coming out of Scott's face.
Mm-hmm.
Pope Francis has opened a 3-week meeting of bishops that is expected to include a contentious debate on ordaining married men. To ease, here's what I'm, the Amazon region's priest shortage. Is there apparently a priest shortage in Brazil?
I believe.
Or South America?
There's a priest shortage in a lot of areas, but that is one of them, to my knowledge, yeah.
The Pope did not directly address the controversial topic during his sermon at Mass at St. Peter's Basilica, but he did speak of the importance that church leaders not be bogged down by, quote, the status quo. Here we go. About 85% of the villages in the Amazon cannot celebrate Mass every week because the region is experiencing a shortage of priests. Allowing married, quote, proven men who are respected in the community to be ordained is a potential solution that will be discussed in the coming weeks of the meeting. Conservative opponents of the idea believe it could lead to the stripping of celibacy requirements across the entire Catholic Church. Good. That is the dumbest rule in all of religion. That to be a priest, to be a bishop, obviously to be the Pope, that you have to engage in a life of celibacy. It's not natural. It's like telling a priest, you can't eat. God made us different for a reason. He wanted us, through marriage, I'm assuming, to play what fits where.
What fits where, huh? I like it.
The idea that a man, for that matter, a woman, as a nun, could go through their entire life completely celibate, married to the church.
I was going to say, I understand the theory behind it. I understand the reasoning behind it, even though I don't necessarily agree with it. In fact, I think from a pragmatic standpoint, it's just going to have to happen. Whether you like it or not, I think it's going to have to happen. There aren't enough men willing to take that dive anymore.
It's already happening.
Of course. The difference is it's under, you know, it's under the table now,
sure.
If you'll pardon the expression. But we're going to have to, that's going to have to happen. That's just the bottom line.
Telephone number here is 576 7798, 576, 7798. Rebecca Crockett, Sam Stevie, Will Starrett. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Here on Dana and Parks, I'm going to agree and disagree at the same time with a text that just came in, and let me go back and find it, because every time I see a good text, then the text line goes,
yeah, it jumps
and
on
and
you.
More come in. I'll just say this. They ended it with saying, good for you for going to Mass. That's fine.
I found it. Until you fully understand the Catholic Church, all that goes on won't make sense, and you won't understand why priests don't marry, but good for you that you're going to Mass.
But with all due respect, it's all kind of the same stuff. I'm not looking to understand what goes on at Catholic Mass. That's not the point of the discussion. The point of the discussion is that the Pope, Pope Francis, is considering changing, or at least he sort of hinted at that, during Mass at St. Peter's Basilica over the weekend, about allowing Catholic priests into the church who are married or who have been married. And I, with all due respect to a lot of the Catholics in the audience, sometimes I get this impression, as someone who is not Catholic, that you have this holier-than-thou or hoity-toity sort of attitude toward the rest of us.
Sometimes.
Lose it. You're not more pious than we are. Well, we're the original church, Scott. Okay. Okay. I enjoy going to Catholic Mass. My girlfriend is a Catholic. I enjoy sitting with her at Catholic Mass. You're right. I don't understand it all. Here's what I do understand, is that the Catholic Church requires its priests to do something that is unnatural. Now, that's not an indictment. You guys can make any rule you want. And I really don't care. Because guess what? I'm not going to become a Catholic priest. What I'm saying is, maybe we've reached the point where we re-examine some of our rules.
I think part of the reason why that's going to have to happen is strictly the pragmatic angle of it. The bottom line is, if you're going to stick hard and fast to this rule of we will not ordain someone who is not a celibate single male, you're not going to have enough priests. What was that story in the Amazon? 85%?
85% of villages cannot celebrate Mass every Sunday.
And there are dioceses all over the country where you have priests now that are going to two or three different parishes over the course of a weekend in order to say Mass in all these places, right, because there are not enough priests. I understand the reasoning why this came about. I understand why we're in that particular scenario. But I also have to look at this and say, you're going to have to do something. You're not going to have enough priests. And yeah, that's just bottom line.
I mean, here's your job description. You get to stand in front of large groups of people every week and preach the word of God. But you don't ever get to have sex. No, thank you.
You're out?
Oh, would never be in.
I know.
Somebody says there are married priests today. Where?
I'll tell you. Those are people who were ministers in other faiths who were married that converted to Catholicism and got a waiver. Those are extremely rare circumstances. I actually happen to know someone who was in that particular situation. He was, of all things, a Pentecostal minister who was married with a family, converted to Catholicism, and tried to get a waiver. And in his particular diocese, he couldn't get it. But it does happen. It is not something that happens with any regularity.
Okay. So we're willing to make an exception to the rule.
Right. And in fact, that was something that once got me kicked out of confirmation class as a rebellious teenager when I was being raised Catholic. I asked the question, wait, is it, why would we grant a waiver to a married minister of another faith to become a priest? Either having the priest married is a problem or it's not. And I'm not saying, I'm not taking sides on that, but the rule should at least be consistent.
Let's go to Justin in Kansas City. Justin, hello.
Hey, how are you guys?
Well, we're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, Scott, I have to commend you, seriously, of, you know, holding your ground on something like this. So I'm a pastor in the Kansas City area. I'm also getting my master's degree right now at a seminary that's local here. And the issue of priests marrying is one of the core tenets of why Protestants split from the Catholic Church, because they said this is unbiblical and this is wrong and you're causing men to sin against their call to be priests and against their against Christ. And so that's one of the reasons the Protestant Reformation actually begun, is because they were teaching this.
Huh. Well, I don't dispute that. I don't know that I deserve any sort of credit for speaking my mind. I think that's what I get paid for. But I do stand by my point. And again, I'm not saying this about every Catholic. I'm not. But it does annoy me from time to time, especially when I see it on the text line. This holy, we're the original church, blah, blah, blah. We're better than you Protestant morons. That's fine. That's fine. Focus. We're talking about whether it is okay to require men and women, nuns, to be celibate for the rest of their lives when we all know, if we look deep inside ourselves, it is unnatural. The Pope dropped some hints over the weekend that he's kind of thinking the other way.
This is also going to be an unpopular thing to say, but I'll touch on it, and I know we got to get to the news. But there were a lot of closeted gay men back in the day before you could be open with that, who went into the priesthood, and that was a way that the numbers stayed up. Now that it is socially acceptable to be openly gay, that those numbers have gone away.
Living for today. Imagine there's no country. It isn't hard to do.
I believe today is his birthday, is it not?
John Lennon?
Yeah, I believe this is John Lennon's
birthday.
It is.
October 9th, 1940.
So he would have been...
I'm so bad with the math. 79?
79 years old today.
Yeah.
Wow. By the way, speaking of the Beatles, have you guys seen that movie Yesterday yet?
I have, yeah.
I loved it.
I have not, and I want to go see it.
And I don't know who they got to play... No, not to... this isn't a spoiler. It's obviously about the Beatles. I don't know who they got to play John Lennon. But that SOB looks just like John Lennon.
Yeah, that was very well done.
Let's go to Tom in Mission. Hello, Tom.
I wanted to chime in on the Catholic celibacy situation. You know, actually, in the Catholic Church, if you're a priest or not, if you're just a good practicing Catholic, you don't have sex at all unless you're trying to have a child.
I don't believe
there's no birth control, none of that. That's not allowed. So sex is only restricted toward trying to breed, which that in itself is a turnoff to a lot of people.
You're allowed to use the so-called natural family planning method, which, you know, you and I would both refer to kind of as the rhythm method.
Yeah, but even that, you're going after a child in your head. You're not thinking, boy, this is fun. We're on the rhythm method.
Sure.
I mean, I've heard them say you're not supposed to use your body as a plaything. And I guess unless you're trying to produce a child, it's just, you know, you can't mess around with yourself. And don't you think that a lot of the problems that Catholics are having with priests and this pedophilia thing is that, yeah, if you were going to take a vow of celibacy, not many people would want to do that. But I can imagine if somebody was coming into puberty or something and they realized either they were homosexual.
Be very careful here.
Yeah. They're attracted to children, whatever. that celibacy might seem like a refuge. Maybe I can go in there and just turn off the sexual thing. So and it never really, you know, it's hard to put a plug in it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Steve in Liberty. Steve, hello.
You guys got a great show. I'm always listening when I'm in from St. Louis for work. I'm Catholic, raised my kids Catholic, and my wife's Catholic. I'm glad I'm Catholic, but it's a flawed faith, just like every other faith. It wasn't made by God. It's human. My daughter just got married about 10 days ago, and our Catholic priest, who I'm good friends with, older gentleman, one of the best men I've ever met in my life. And I've sat there and I've drank beers with the guy before, and he's basically said, how do you think I feel? I mean, he's basically going through depression. He's like, how do you think I feel every time somebody finds out that I'm a Catholic priest? They automatically assume that there's a good shot that, you know, maybe I'm some sort of pedophilia or something. And the thing that bothers me is that a good man like this guy, and I know quite a few other priests, I went to a private Catholic high school in St. Louis. Nobody ever did anything to me. I never even got a sniff of it. Now, I'm not defending that it happens, and we all know why it happens. And a lot of it has to do, in my opinion, by the fact that a lot of these people, kind of like what the gentleman just said just before, maybe they're not that interested in women. Maybe they think they're getting calling from God, and then they find out later that that's not the case, and that's a hard decision to make at a young age. But I feel sorry for these priests that have made that decision and given up that sacrifice to God with their own personal faith and have chosen to give that up for God, and they're being lumped in with everybody else that you know, because of, unfortunately, the horrible issues that do exist with the fact, and I agree with what you guys are saying, it is abnormal to ask a grown man, in my opinion, to give that up. But someone that chooses to give that up and has the faith to do that, what an incredible sacrifice that is. And that's a personal decision on their part, in my opinion.
Agreed.
The thing that bothers me is today's society wants to just, you know, just there's no rules anymore. Let's say if I personally, and I have that right personally, what if I felt that homosexuality is an abomination before God? I don't really think that, but I don't like seeing parades and celebrating it and dancing around like you're crazy to be heterosexual. So in my opinion, I do like a faith that has a backbone. I do like a faith that says there is a right and wrong. I do like a faith, in my opinion, that says you get married and you stay married for the rest of your life. That's what you should try to do with the same woman. I have a lot of friends that have been divorced, so I don't look down on them. I also like a faith that says abortion is wrong, that you shouldn't stop a beating heart. So what I do like about the Catholic faith is that I'm sure there's other faiths like it, is that it does have a backbone to stand up and say, hey, it's just not us all meeting up in a room, saying kumbaya and dancing all around and showing up at church when we feel like it. No, there are... Your faith should be the most important thing in your life. Going to church should be the most important task of your week. What should be more important? And I'm not a holy roller. Don't get me wrong. I'm probably the biggest sinner on the planet. But to watch my faith get degraded by people, and I'm not saying you guys are doing that, but people that don't really understand it and don't really understand. Also, the church is also a global church. I've asked priests and friends of mine before, hey, why doesn't it just make sense to let these guys get married? And they say, well, they might not think that in Mexico. They might not think that in South America. Where I've heard stories that in Italy, when popes have tried to do that the mafia was going to put a hit on the pope. So we can't just look at it here in the United States. Again, I know, I agree. It is somewhat of a Neanderthal way, and I do agree that it needs to change. But it ain't all about just what we here think in the good old U.S. of A. It's a big global church. And, you know, God bless the guys that do choose to be celibate. I can't imagine making that sacrifice. Sex is one of the most important things in my life. It's not, as a man, if not the most important thing.
Well, let me go ahead and ask you this here. I want to talk about the allowing married priests thing here for just a second. You will acknowledge and you will see that there's a problem in most areas of the world with having enough priests. If we're not going to allow married priests, what is your suggestion?
Number one, we have to allow them to get married. I agree with that. I just don't. And I enjoy your show, and that's the reason why I turn it on. I'm just saying it's not as easy as we might think here in America, because it is a global church, and maybe a lot of people that have different and more, you know, traditional views of how the tree should be. We all know a lot of reasons why the whole priest idea occurred, if you agree with it historically, is because the church was sick and tired of the priests used to be able to get married, and they used to get beat sick and tired of them. They'd die, and then they'd leave all their money to their wives versus leaving it to the church. We all know that that's a flawed theory. We all know that that's not right. I agree that we should allow them to get married. I guess I'm going a little bit off on a tangent and saying that let's pump the brakes a little bit about not giving the Catholic Church a little. The Catholic Church is getting pummeled. I mean, I spent $25,000 a year to send my one kid to – I spent $40,000 a year to send my kids to private school at the time they were going at the same time. I value my faith, and I'm sick and tired of it getting pummeled. I like the fact that my faith has a backbone. I like the fact
Steve, back into your corner, and let me just address a few of the things that you said. It's a good call, and I love your passion. I do. And you're right. I think the Catholic Church – sadly, has been pummeled over the years. Some of it deserved, some of it undeserved. And you're right. However, I just want to point out one thing that you said. You referenced at least my, and I'm paraphrasing you here, at least my church has a backbone. We're not some kumbaya, attend whenever we want kind of church. And that's where I was referring earlier to, with all due respect to the Catholics listening, and I'm not saying it's all of them, but some of them, you guys have this hoity-toity, we're better than you attitude. And it drives the rest of us nuts.
I don't mean to come off that way. I guess my skin has had to get thickened up. You don't think that my faith has been I accept my Catholic faith because I recognize, number one, I'm comfortable because I'm comfortable in my relationship with Jesus Christ with being in the Catholic faith. Do I think if you're Methodist or you're Baptist or Jewish or whatever that you don't have a path to God? I don't believe that at all. I'm comfortable in it. So when something that I'm very that I and I've spent a lot of money and heart and sweat and blood and tears and had, you know, my father was very Catholic. That's usually most people are in the religion of their parents. That's typical. But do I just and I understand what you're saying. And you're spot on in what you're saying. I'm just saying. I'm sick and tired. I'm going off a little bit on a tangent. I'm sick and tired of the Catholic faith being like the pinata. I mean, if you really wanted to go back, if you really look at the history of a lot of faiths, the Anglican Church started because Henry VIII couldn't get any more. The church wouldn't let him get a divorce, so he just started beheading people and started his own church. If you really dig into a lot of the Protestant faith and really look at the backbones of where they came from, they've got their flaws as well. I'm just saying I'm comfortable being Catholic. I recognize the problem. I agree with you guys 100%.
All right. Hey, Steve, I only am stopping you because we have to get to the break. You're very passionate. I wish I had that passion for my church. I do not. I am a proud Presbyterian, but there's no way I would call into a radio show and be able to say the things that you just said in defense of my church. I appreciate your call. Thank you for it. Keyword to Cassius Hour is honey. Steve is very passionate about his faith.
Whew. Need a breather?
Need a break.
I understand.
576-7798. Danny's out sick today. Will Stair filling in on KMBZ. CNN.com, an 8-year-old girl, and I'm trying to figure out where this story is out of. Doesn't say yet. Stand by for that. An 8-year-old girl said she felt singled out after being blocked from getting her school picture taken because of her hairstyle. Marion Scott telling CNN affiliate WILX that she cried after she was told that she couldn't get her photo taken because of the red extensions in her hair. Ben Creech, the principal of Paragon Charter Academy, tells the TV station that Marion's red extensions violated school policy. Her father calls the incident upsetting. All of this is uncalled for, says Dad. They didn't even call us. They let her stay in school, so it's not a disruption to the class. Then why is it a disruption for her picture? Jackson, Michigan, by the way.
Yep.
School's handbook says a student's hair color must be, quote, of natural tone.
And you said this is red?
To get their picture taken.
Mm-hmm. And red, I do believe, last time I checked, is a natural hair color.
It's not her natural hair color.
But did it say of a natural tone or your natural tone?
Must be of natural tones.
Red, there's no distinction there.
How do you define natural tones?
Something that would occur without coloration. Now,
something you were born with.
Right, but I guess my point is, if red is a natural tone for someone, there's no violation here.
But it's not your natural tone.
But the handbook doesn't state that it has to be yours.
The policy's dumb.
The policy is dumb. I'm just saying there's grounds to challenge it, too.
In fairness, it is a private school, the way this story reads.
Mm-hmm.
It is Paragon Charter. Well, it's a charter school, which is sort of a quasi-public, quasi-private school. But who cares? What if her hair's blue?
I've long questioned that. Going back to my days in school, for crying out loud, who cares?
My daughter wasn't allowed to have any color in her hair when she was on the dance team at a public school. Otherwise, she wasn't allowed to participate in any of the dance events.
Like, what if she had highlights?
If it was natural colored highlights, but if it was like pink, blue, anything like that,
no. So she could have blonde, I don't know what color your daughter's hair is. Let's say it's brown, just for the sake of argument. And she had blonde highlights in her hair. Even though blonde was not her natural hair color, that would be acceptable.
It would be acceptable if it was not drastic. Because if she had black hair and blonde highlights, that would have been unacceptable.
Well, she would look like a zebra.
Yeah, that would just be unacceptable anyway.
You would look like one of the goth kids from back in the day. That's what you'd look like.
Right.
I'm okay with kicking the kid off the team for that.
But in all reality, I think this boils down, once again, to us paying way too much attention to other people's business. My God, who cares? If it's not your head of hair, what's the big deal?
Well, and isn't her picture her memory of how she looked at that age?
I do believe it is.
You know, there was a year, I think it was my brother's seventh grade year in school. His hair was getting kind of long.
Mm-hmm.
And we both, he doesn't have hair anymore, but when he did have hair, when he would let it just grow out naturally, it was very curly.
Nice.
And not really, not like super curly like mine would be.
I'm
if
jealous,
I grew it out.
Though. I wish I had that kind of hair.
But, he doesn't have it anymore.
He's
bald. Yeah, it was kind of like yours, Sam Stevie. Yeah, it was curly like that. Maybe just a little bit less so. But he went to school one day, and it was school picture day. And he just decided he was going to wash it, and he had a mullet, and it was long, and it went over his ears a little bit. And so, which is to say it was the mid-80s. And he washed his hair in the morning, and he didn't brush it. And then he goes and gets his school pictures. His hair was like so
wild.
My mother refused to buy his school pictures that year.
Was it just like out? Did he have like an afro?
No. It didn't look like an afro.
Well, that's too bad.
Think Kevin Dubrow from Quiet Riot in the mid-80s, except not the balding part on the front.
I've heard of Quiet Riot. The Come On, Feel the Noise people. What's his name? I'm going to look this up.
Kevin Dubrow.
I'm sorry that I'm ignorant when it comes to this. Wow. Okay.
Very curly.
Yeah. So it's like it's a curly mullet.
It's not a fro.
No, it's not. Okay.
It's not a Lyle Lovett.
The way you did your hands, you know, made it look like it was opposed to
it
down.
It looked bigger in the picture than it would be if he had like combed it and hair dried it and
Man.
All that stuff.
No, I'd pay double for those photos.
My mom refused to buy his. She was so upset. She refused to buy his pictures that year.
Well, that's too bad.
There's only one picture that still remains, and that's the one in the yearbook.
Oh, do you have that yearbook?
Yes, I do.
I think this needs to be shared.
It will be shared.
Good.
I'll put it on Twitter tonight.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, if I could do that sort of thing with my hair, I would love to.
You don't have hair.
I know. That's the problem. I lost my hair before I was able to do anything with it. You know what two things, hairstyle-wise, I would have loved to have had?
Mullet?
No.
Hair in general?
I would have loved to have had... I had hair at one time, and it wasn't that long ago. But I would have loved to have had a fro. I think that would have been awesome. I would have loved to have had a Jerry curl.
What?
I would have loved to have had a Jerry curl.
Like Ready for the World Jerry curl?
Yeah. Like Lionel Richie on the cover of the Dancing on the Ceiling album.
Wow.
That would have been.
I'm so glad you don't have hair.
How dare you?
What happened to your hair? Because you're kind of young to not have hair.
It's genetics. It's so bad. On my mom's side of the family, my mom is one of five kids. She has four brothers.
Does she have hair?
My mom has hair, but her four brothers are all just about as bald as a grape.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. Because my hair had the challenge to be free before I hit 35.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.